see everybody this morning. Everybody excited? Hallelujah. Everybody having a good summer? A fast summer?
Fast summer.
Yeah, boy, it's gone, isn't it?
It is.
Man, seems like they just march right on by.
It sure does.
Or run on by, I'm not sure which it is. Man. Would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Luke?
What chapter?
Chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 16. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book, or the scroll, of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, or unrolled the scroll, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the sick, to the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. Thank you for your word, Father. God, we just are excited about your word, Father. We're excited about what you're doing, Father. God, we just ask today, Lord God, that you open our eyes, Lord God, and you speak to our hearts, Lord God. God, we desperately desire you, Father. God, we want to walk with you, talk with you, Lord God. God, we want to be in your presence 24/7, Lord God. God, we want to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. And God, we believe, Father, that God, great and mighty things are happening, Father. The revival is just on the brink, Father. And God, we are a generation, Lord God, that are going to be living in this revival of the end times, Father. So God, stir us up today, Lord God. God, we love you, we praise you, Father. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus quoting from Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, almost word for word, and as you think of, it's like he's preparing the people. Guys, here's what's going to happen. The time is here. This is the time that Isaiah prophesied was going to happen. And so, as he looks at these different scenarios, as you study what he said in that, he's addressing both physical and spiritual realities. Jesus proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. And it's an allusion to Jubilee. Everybody knows what Jubilee is, right? That was the 50th year, every 50th year, in which all debt was forgiven, slaves were given their freedom, and ancestral lands were given back to its original family. The year of Jubilee allows for a new start. Jesus offers a total cancellation of spiritual debt and a new beginning to those who respond to his message. The acceptable year of the Lord, or we could also say the day of salvation. Verse 21 says, this day, Jesus, he rehearsed Isaiah 61, and then in verse 21, he said, this day, this time, not just this particular day, but this time, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? So Jesus is proclaiming the fulfillment of God's plan and His promise in Himself. Luke many times notes the presence of fulfillment by including a reference to today. If you've ever studied the Bible and looked at that word today, the title of the message is Victory in Jesus. How many is ready for victory in Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm going to walk you through a couple passages of Scripture just to build upon. Just like as Jesus went through the recorded miracles, because it wasn't all recorded, okay? We have the Reader's Digest version. Just the condensed version has been recorded. So as I walk you through this, it's like Jesus was given a preview. He had come back from dealing with Satan, right? And he came back full of the Holy Ghost, on fire for God. And it's like the beginning of his ministry. And so he's given a preview. He says, this is what it's going to look like, guys. This is what Isaiah was prophesying about. And so we see different scenarios that fall under one of those categories. In Luke 17:11, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." So here's he's passing through. And here are these 10 lepers. Remember we talked about numbers in the Bible? Well, here's 10. 10 lepers. We talked about the number 10 last week, didn't we? And so here were 10 men. And he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Well, that's what they had to do. You know, if they believed they were healed, they had to go and have it verified. And so here they are. They're lepers. And Jesus said, "Go show yourself the priest." It's like, hello? What would we do that for? But they was obedient. And as they went, have no idea how long it took, how long the journey was, whatever. But as they went, you know, I don't know whether they were all healed at once or whether they started to see changes or maybe just one started to see a change. But as they went, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So we see this one man out of the 10, he came back, and he was a heathen. Okay, he was a Samaritan. He was the last one you would expect to come back. And it was like, when he came back, you know, it wasn't, I don't picture this as it was just a one-time thing, you know. It wasn't like just saying thanks. He come back to follow Jesus. And so Jesus says, well, there's 10 of you guys that got healed. Where's the other 9? I wonder if those statistics hold true today. 10% of the people that get touched by Jesus really come to follow him. Don't know, but sure makes you wonder. Can you imagine Jesus? Where's the rest of them? Where's the other people that I touched? Where's the other people I healed? Where's the other people I set free? Where's the other people I give a new start, a new chance, a new hope, a new freedom? He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Luke 8:41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of a synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having the issue of blood 12 years, it is 12, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. So here's Jesus, he's on a mission. He's off to minister to this 12-year-old girl that's dying. And he's got a crowd of people around him. Everybody pushing, shoving, crowding in, you know, wanting to get close to Jesus. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. And Peter says, what are you talking about? Of course somebody touched you. We know people touch you. And Jesus said, you missed the point. He said, they really touched me. By faith, they touched me because virtue went out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, come on, she gave her testimony, for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter's dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Here's a double miracles right there. So here's this 12-year-old daughter. She's going to raise her from the dead. Here's this woman that had been having this issue of blood for 12 years. She's going to get healed. Today is their day of miracle. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Hallelujah. So, 12. The number 12 seems to be very important to God. The meaning of 12, which is considered a perfect number, is that it symbolizes God's power and authority. According to Bible scholars, 12 is the product of 3, which signifies the divine, and 4, which signifies the earthly. Let me read that again. 12 is the product of 3, which signifies the divine, and 4, which signifies the earthly. We might say that's where heaven and earth met. That was the day when the supernatural overrode the natural. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The number 12 has further significance as it represents authority, appointment, and completeness. John 5:1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, or by the some translations say the sheep gate. I think that would be the proper translation. The sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Now I believe that's the only place in the Bible where the word Bethesda is. Having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. It's a matter of the first one. The first one there gets the prize. But you had to be there. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he had been in this condition. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be whole, or are you just going through the motions? Are you really trusting and believing that today is your day? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Or, you know, do you like this sick program? You get a lot of people, you know, just you know how sick people sometimes milk that cow for all it's worth. A lot of benefits to being sick. Boy, you know, if you're in shape like that, you qualify for a lot of programs. You know, and it's like Jesus would say, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you really want to be healed? Are you ready to go back to work? Today. The impotent man answered him, sir, I am no man. When the water's troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. immediately. Are these things part of what Jesus said was going to happen? Absolutely. Bethesda means house of mercy. But there's another meaning too. In both Hebrew and the Aramaic, the word can also mean shame or disgrace. Boy, you can see that too. When the people were there was, you know, the sick people, disgrace, shame. Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And so here's this blind man, specifically blind Bartimaeus, and he's a beggar. And he's ready to be healed. Now, we can't imagine what it would be like to maybe be blind all his life. It's hard to imagine what it would be like not ever seeing anything. Even though people, how could you describe something that people had never seen? And so here's blind Bartimaeus. And all he knows is scrounging, begging, pleading for just something, a piece of food to get him through to the next day so he can go and do it all over again. And it's like Jesus said, what do you want? Do you want steak and mashed potatoes today? Do you want somebody to help you across the street today? Just what is it that you want? It's like, are you willing to settle for crumbs? Or do you want the whole deal? Like Sister Miltenberg used to say, ask largely. So here's blind Bartimaeus, and he's asking for the whole deal. He said, I want to see. I want my sight back. I want to receive my sight. Isn't it something? I want to receive it. In other words, you have it, now give it to me. Right? I want to receive it. Do you go to Jesus when you're praying and say, "You've got it. This is what I want"? Even if you can't see it. Even if you've never seen it. Imagine it. Stretch your imagination. Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they couldn't do it." And so Jesus answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. In other words, they brought the boy, or his son, have no idea how old he was. He brought him. And so, here's this spirit that has been tormenting this son for a long time. And he wants attention. The spirit in him wants attention. It's worked before, and he's going to go through the same thing all over. The spirit probably fears, watch this. This brings fear to people. This brings rejection from people. It worked every time, and I'm going to do it again. And so, here's this spirit, and he's manifesting in the boy. And Jesus don't give him the time of day. He asked the Father, here's the boy. Here's the boy manifesting that spirit in him. And he asked the Father, "How long ago since this came into him?" And he says, "Of a child." In other words, when he was just a child, this started happening. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus saith unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe." All things are possible to him that believes. And straightway, or immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, here the spirit's getting the crowd. Okay? He's attracted people. He's created a commotion. And so here's the crowd coming, and Jesus cuts her off. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried, shrieked, left out a holler, whatever, rent him sore, and come out of him. That was the end. So here's all these different scenarios. The first one was the leper. Now back in those days, leprosy has been around for, we might say, forever. It's been recorded back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And at that time, there was no cure. That was it. You got leprosy, you just waited, suffered to die. But now, they have a cure. And they've broken leprosy down into two categories. One category is if there's five spots or whatever on your body, that's one category. If there's over five, it's another category. And so they have devised antibiotics to treat it with. And in the first case, 6 months treatment, it's done. If it's progressed into more than that, then it's 12 months and it's done. Now, leprosy is a bacteria that people contract, and it may lay dormant for up to 20 years. You may be carrying that thing around for 20 years before it manifests. So in the case, you know, back when Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. I'm here to heal the sick, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, heal, whatever. We see this natural thing, leprosy. But how about things that people are carrying inside that can be just as devastating as leprosy? Say, well, what would that be? Well, how about unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, envy, jealousy, strife, and the list could just go on and on and on. And it's in there, just building and building. About the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. 12 years she had this problem. What she had was visible. She'd gone to the doctors. Doctors couldn't do anything about it. But how about things that are unseen or hidden, where life just seems to flow out of you? Discouragement, depression, rejection takes its toll. And you sink lower, gradually, lower and lower and lower, until it's like there's no hope. And the devil says, you might as well end it. It's not going to get any better. Que sera, sera. This is the way it is. Then we see the man who was crippled 38 years. How many people in the world today are crippled with unseen things? They're not reaching their full potential because of something. Maybe that happened 38 years ago. Maybe somebody in the first grade, may have even been a teacher, said, you'll never amount to anything. And that thing was there. And so, well, why should I try to be something if I'm nobody? Because the enemy wants people to think you're a nobody. But God wants you to know you're somebody. How about blind Bartimaeus? I thought it was so unique as you, the more you look at the passages of Scripture, you pick up on a word. And it said he cast off his garment. He cast off his garment. Wonder if in the spirit realm that was, this is what I'm associated with, but no more. No more begging. You're not going to recognize me. I'm going to be clothed in righteousness. Not clothed in shame, not clothed in despair, not clothed in depression, not clothed in oppression. I'm going to be clothed in righteousness. I don't need this stuff anymore. What are we blind to? What's God trying to show us? And we're blind to it. Anybody ever have your eyes open to Scripture? And you didn't know you was blind before that? Come on! Then God says, look! When we open our Bibles, do we say, Jesus, I want to receive sight. You've got it. I want it. How about the boy with the tormenting demon? When did this come? Well, we recognized it. This is what the Father was saying. We recognized it. Don't know when it come. Okay? It could have been like the leprosy. But we recognized it when he was a child. It began manifesting when he was a child. So what torments us? A lot of people are tormented with memory. How many people do you know that will say, I can't remember? I don't remember like I used to. But God's given us a sound mind. Hallelujah. Well, where did this... And there's all kinds of little phrases. Oh, this is a senior moment. Oh, this is some other dumb thing. Instead of saying, this is of the devil. God's given me a sound mind. But those things can torment us. And there's all kinds of things we can think about that we can be tormented with. The things that we should have done back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years ago. If I'd only done that, what's past is past. It's done. There's no going back. Repent. Receive forgiveness and move on. Don't be tormented with this stuff. And you can come up with all kinds of scenarios that will try to torment us. Well, if you had done this, or if you had said this, or if you hadn't done this, or if you hadn't said that. Hello? What's done's done. That's it. We'll deal with it. And we'll move on. We're not going to be tied to something that happened 50 years ago. But you said this. Come on. Get over it. So some things we can see here. All these people recognized they had a need. If you don't have a need, you're going to live with what you got. And they realized there was nothing else they could do. They'd done everything in the natural, everything that they could think of. They went down every road, done everything, every avenue, they done it. And they finally got to the place where we need Jesus. Multitudes came to Jesus to be healed, which tells me that we all may have something that needs healed. We have to recognize, number one, we have to recognize there may be some stuff hidden in us. Number two, some things need supernatural intervention. Come on. Number three, know it's God's will to give you the kingdom. Number four, exercise faith in Jesus. Psalms 25:5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So, do you have victory in Jesus? Are you looking for victory in Jesus? Do you need victory in Jesus? Are you living the abundant life that Jesus described? Or do you think maybe there's some things that may be hidden? Maybe things that we really don't understand what Jesus has for us? We're blind to them, and we need to say, Jesus, I want. And we're ready to cast off that old cloak, the old garment, come on. Amen. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Bartimaeus must have heard that. Old things are gone. Time for new. Hallelujah. So if you're here today and you're really seeking God and say, God, what's hidden? What is it that I'm not seeing? God, I want the whole ball of wax. I want to go for the gold. Hallelujah. I invite you to come. Come with me. Join me. Because I'll be the first one to say, God, there's got to be more. I know there's more. Open my eyes. Show me what I've been missing. So come. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We give you glory and honor in this place, Lord God. Hallelujah. And God, you said this day, the scripture is fulfilled. Hallelujah. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you want us to enjoy everything. You want us to experience everything that Jesus said was in Him. He said, today it's fulfilled. This is the day. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, we just give you glory. We give you praise in this place, Lord God. God, I'm excited, Lord God. I'm expecting, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. I'm ready to cast off that old garment, Lord God, and put on new clothes, Lord God. God, I want to be, oh God, all that you've called me and equipped me for, God, I want to be it, Lord God. God, I don't want to come up short in anything, Father. Hallelujah, God. God, I want that victory. I want that victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I'm just seeking you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, just show me. Show me what's hidden, what I'm not seeing. Show me, hallelujah. Show me anything that's in there that needs to go. Hallelujah, Lord God. God, I seek you, Lord God. I seek your face, Lord God. This day, Lord God. And God, I'm coming today, Lord God. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but today, Lord God. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Lord God, right here in this place, Lord God. God, as we come in faith, believing, Lord God, that it's going to happen, Lord God, that this is the day. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, God. And God, I just come, Lord God. God, open before you, Lord God. Have your way, Lord. God, I want you, I need you, Lord God. I desire you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you.